Kentuckery. The Maine outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors online. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
And good evening to you, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors. We're so pleased that you could be aboard tonight. And we have a toll-free statewide number that we encourage you to remember or jot down so that you can be part of our show every week. And what's that number, Bob Lehman?
1-800-966-1039. And you got to dial a whole number, yes, even if you're local. 1-800-966-1039.
And Bob and I and Norm wish you a happy Labor Day weekend. We hope you've had a good time. Yeah. You had some dogs and burgers on the grill.
Yeah.
And you have a safe Labor Day weekend. Let's see. We have a good show lined up tonight. I'll introduce the guests in just a moment. First, I want to remind you that the fellow behind the controls this week, the board operator, or the board op, as they call him in the business, is the sweetheart. He used to be the scourge, but now he's the sweetheart.
I've been upgraded.
Well, that all depends on how you look at it.
Grand Lake Stream, our engineer extraordinaire, Norman F. Plord.
Good evening, everybody, and I guess I've been upgraded.
Yes, you have, and you deserve it.
So, we are here with fall weather upon us.
You know, that's the good thing about Labor Day weekend. I was going to ask you guys, what do you like about Labor Day weekend?
Good question, because now that I'm retired, it doesn't make a whole lot.
Well, it's the beginning of fall, my favorite time of year.
Well, that's true. And, yeah, you know, they're talking like low 60s tomorrow with rain.
Yeah, but it's fall.
It's fall. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, yeah. I agree. I mean, you can definitely feel it in the air.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, good sleeping at night, too.
Yes, yeah, very much, yeah, so.
Our guest tonight, in this order, first guest is going to be a lady, and I have not talked with her on the phone, but I've discussed it with an email. She sounds like a credible mountain lion sighter, if I can get away with calling her that. And she's going to be recounting her sighting, recent sighting of a mountain lion. And I thought, after listening to her story, it sounds pretty good. I thought it would be good for her to share it with us, and she's agreed to do so. Then at 7:30, right after that break, we're going to hook up again with Dave Trahan, who is the executive director of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, Sam. He'll be with us to talk about, he's going to break some news here on a new hatchery and a new fish hatchery. So we'll be listening to that after the 7:30 break. And want to remind you that you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network. And what are the frequencies, Bob, if somebody wanted to dial it in on their FM set? What are the frequencies?
Oh, yeah, okay. 101.3, that's Augusta. 103.9, Bangor. And 95.1, Rockland. It has all FM stations.
Yes, sir. And we are streaming live, by the way. And speaking of that,
yeah,
for example, my eldest son, Scotty, who's an airline pilot extraordinaire for American Airlines, is on his sailboat down in the Florida Keys listening to us tonight,
Bob. No fooling.
So say hi to Scotty.
That's fantastic. Hi, Scotty. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he just finished.
Could you call us? Maybe not.
I don't know. He might. He might.
That would be nice, wouldn't
he? He just finished his grapefruit.
Yeah.
And those airline pilots, they sleep all crazy hours. Oh, I don't know
so
how they do.
He's down there. He must be flying.
They fly at night and they sleep in the day. Oh, it's unbelievable. Anyway, we say hi to him and anybody else who's listening to us. Oh, I think Tony down there in Chicopee Bass, I think Tony's also listening. He's a big fan, and he likes all you guys. He sends me little emails and tells us how much he appreciates the program.
Well, speaking of listeners.
Yeah.
Two of our really very good fans that listen almost every Sunday night are Dennis and Doreen. And you know them, but I'm not going to mention, we don't mention last names here on the show as a rule. So Dennis and Doreen have a little farm down there, and he's a retired pilot too.
Yes,
Dennis.
He is, yeah.
You know who he is.
United Airlines.
And they have a nice garden down there, and they're wonderful people, and they give away a lot of vegetables from their garden every week at church.
Oh, that's great.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. They're wonderful people. Okay. So hello, Dennis and Doreen.
And what are their last names?
I don't give the last
name. Well, I do. All right. Anyway, good to hear that.
Sure. No, what are their last names?
You really want me to say it?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Bradley.
Okay. And good work they do with the veggies.
Yes,
that's
always,
they do.
They
always great
do.
To share your veggies. And let's see. Also want to remind you that the latest edition of the Sporting Journal is now on the street. You can pick one up at a newsstand. You'll recognize it because there's a big old bull moose on the cover. And there's a lot of great articles in there by yours truly, by Bob Lehman, by a lot of other great outdoor writers. So pick it up at the newsstand. If you'd like a subscription, we always encourage you to think about that because you save money if you do that. You can call Alicia during the week at 732-4880. And you can check out our website at sportingjournal.com. And you can read past issues of the Sporting Journal at no charge.
That's pretty good, huh?
That's a good deal.
We also,
Some of our competition charge money to do that.
That's true.
Right, yeah.
We also have podcasts, as you know.
That's right, they do. Okay, let's see. Time for Outdoor Digest now, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Got a bunch of housekeeping things to take care of before we get to Bob's report. Doe permits have been issued. I drew one, Bob.
Wow.
And
I'm kidding.
Diane didn't, but I got one for my area.
Yeah.
And my son Josh got one over there in Reedfield. How'd you do? Did you put in for a doe permit?
No, I didn't.
You know, okay. And anyway, it's
does that mean, Paul, that you could get more than one?
Means that I could take both a doe and a buck.
And a buck too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You got to go buck hunting, and then if it all fails, you could shoot a doe.
Yeah. Whatever happens. Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah. So that's exciting. And it's only $12. You got to pay $12. And by the way, you have until if you are drawn. Don't forget. You have until September 29th to pony up the $12 and to make sure you confirm that online at the Fish and Wildlife website. Penobscot Fly Fishers, great organization. They've done so many good things in this area to promote fly fishing and fishing. And Don Corey, their current president, put out a press release today. They're having a dinner meeting at the Penobscot County Conservation Association on September 7th. And it's always good chow there at PCCA. They always put on a good meal. Dinner time is at 6 p.m., and Don is encouraging folks who want a reservation to enjoy that meal to send him a little advance notice by email, and you can reach him at, let's see if I get this right, president, that's easy, president@penobscotflyfishers.com. If you're planning to enjoy that dinner on September 7th, send Don a little email to that effect. Another great thing is happening on September 17th. Ducks Unlimited is having their annual banquet. This is always a big, big hoedown. A lot of great items there at their silent and live auction. They'll be auctioning off wildlife prints, decoys, guns, knives, jewelry, furniture, hunting equipment and apparel, much, much more. And they'll also be featuring several raffles and games. Of course, always a great meal at Jeff's Catering. And that is on September 17th. And if you'd like to get a ticket ahead of time, you can call Tom Duff at 989-6082. Tom Duff, 989-6082. That's a very good cause. Ducks Unlimited has been very active over the years in protecting wetlands. They do a lot of good things in habitat conservation. We encourage you to support them if you can. And a good way to do it is to attend the dinner. Again, Tom Duff, 989-6082, and the date again is September 17th. This will be held at Jeff's Catering over there in Brewer. And I think that about covers all the little housekeeping items I have, so I think what we ought to do at this time is to get the drummer and the bass player. Now that's a good thing.
I'm the big boss, Bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
These are my reeds.
Does Alice ever ask you to do a yeah at home anytime?
She's too busy out in the garden. I don't think she even knows I do that.
She doesn't?
She does.
She has to. Does she ever listen?
Probably wouldn't admit to it anyway.
Does Alice listen to the show?
Sometimes.
Yeah, Diane does sometimes, unless she's got something
better. Yeah, Diane's a regular listener, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, unless she's got something better to do.
Make any mistakes. I bet you catch it when you get home, right?
Oh, yeah. She's my toughest critic. Hey, what's going on in the fishing world?
Well, there's a lot of things going on, Paul, absolutely. You wouldn't think much, would you? But there is a lot of things going on. Atlantic salmon coming into these big rivers, Penobscot, Kennebec, Sebago, not Sebago, but the rest of them.
Yep.
And low water everywhere in all these tributaries. Look at the Kuduskeg Stream. If they've gone up the Kuduskeg Stream in Bangor, where could they go? There's no water in it.
No.
You could walk across it anywhere right there in just above Bangor by the interstate, and you could jump from dry bank to dry bank and not see just little pools of water. There's little trickles in them. There's no way Atlantic salmon are going to come up there. And a lot of places are just the same. Now, the North Country is different.
So they're going to have to go upriver, right?
They're going to have to. Well, if they got upriver early, they might be all right.
Yeah.
But a lot of places are not going to be able to. Piscataquis River, for instance, they could probably get in. If they get up into it, that's the thing. They could probably do all right. But a lot of these tributaries that they get into, you know, from these bigger tributaries, they just can't go any further.
Yeah.
Because and it warms up so that it's dangerous for them. It really is. Yeah. But we'll be getting the fall run here pretty quick. Let's just hope we get some more water.
Well, we're going to get a deluge tonight and tomorrow, right? Going
to
get.
I hope so.
Yeah,
somebody said it was an inch and a quarter for here locally.
Yeah, so. Quite a bit of rain. Yeah,
well, that's good. So.
What else? Yep.
Well, actually, the flows in some of these local dams, for instance, has been issued, and the water flows at, say, of Thursday, September 1st, at East Outlet, which is a very popular fishing place, was 1,028. What's that? EFS, which is cubic feet per second, right? 1,028. That's pretty good.
Yeah, CFS.
West Outlet is 197 CFS. And West Branch, 2,993. That's fantastic, isn't it?
Are you sure that's not a typo? What is it? The West Branch of Penobscot?
Yeah.
What was it again?
That's what it said.
What?
2,993.
Wow.
Okay, Grand Lake Stream, as we just checked, Norm was looked it up on his cell phone to make sure, and it was right around 270 cubic feet per second, which is about average for that this time of year, which isn't bad.
Yeah,
so it's a very fishable.
So you're the Grand Lake Stream expert. So if somebody wants to fish, it wouldn't be too bad, huh?
Oh no, well, the fish aren't really in yet right now.
Yeah,
it's still warm. Got to be warm.
Yeah,
I don't look for any fishing up there till end of September anyway.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's an extended season up there now, all the way to October 25th, I believe it is. So there'll be a lot of fish around by then. Hopefully there'll be plenty of water.
And at the end of the month, you can hunt for grouse in the morning and fish in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
Okay, is that it?
That'll do it for tonight.
All right. Thank you, sir. We appreciate that update.
Yep.
Again, our guests, if you join us late, we have two phone guests. The lady named Robin Corey. I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name. Bob, what do you think that is? Kahane? I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll find out when we talk.
K-E-O?
K-E-O-H-A-N-E. We'll find out when we talk to Robin.
Good.
She's spotted a mountain lion. They're going to tell us her story. And at 7:30, Dave Trahan's going to update us on the latest funding of a brand new high-tech Maine fish hatchery. Right now, though, we're feeling generous tonight. We want to give away. It's the first of the month, so we can give away a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal. It's worth $31.95, but there's a little bit of a new twist tonight on our trivia question. Usually we give you the question, then you dial in, and you give us the answer, and we judge whether it's correct or not. Tonight, it's a little different. The topic tonight is ballistics. You know what that is, right, Norm?
Yes, I do.
Ballistics is what? It's about ammo, right?
Correct.
Those of us who hunt deer should know a little bit about ballistics because we use guns with ammo. So anyway, it's going to be about ballistics. So if you think you know a little bit about ballistics, you don't have to be an expert. But if you think you have a working relationship with ballistics, you can call in, and I'm going to give you a question, a three-part question. You get the right answer, we're going to make sure you get a subscription.
There you are.
So the number to call, Bob, is what?
1-800-966-1039.
All right. You call us up if you think you know a little bit about ballistics. We'll put the question to you, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll go to our commercial.
Let's take a break. Okay, we want you to answer our question tonight, but we're not going to put it on the air until you call, and we have a caller standing by who knows a little bit about ballistics. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors.
How you doing tonight?
Fine, sir. What is your first name?
Charlie.
Charlie. Okay, Charlie, you ready to play the game?
Sure.
Okay, put your thinking cap on, Charlie. Here we go. This is a three-parter, and I'm going to give you, this is a word from the world of ballistics, and you give me the definition, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go, Charlie. Question one, trajectory.
That's the path of the bullet.
Excellent. Here's the second one, velocity.
That's the speed of the bullet.
Very good. Okay, I think you're almost there, Charlie. We saved the toughest one to last. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Ballistic coefficient.
Ooh, that's a tough one. you did save that one for the last, huh?
Oh, yeah. I did it on purpose. Because we're mean. We're mean.
Boy, you're going to stump me with that one.
Well, it's not that tough, really. You've done so well, Charlie. We're going to try to help you with this. You know, ballistic coefficient, it has to do with what? Come on, Charlie, you can do it. Has to do, the shape of the bullet, and it's going through the air with resistance, and there's gravity, and there's the air is resistant, and then there's wind and moisture. It's what? It's like an airplane.
If the resistance of the bullet cutting through the air?
Well, yeah, but what do they call it? It's, in an airplane, the guys talk about the wings and then they're talking about how it goes through the air. Come on, Charlie, you got it. I want you to win it, Charlie.
Two out of three ain't bad.
I do too, but...
How about if I give you the... what do you think? I just don't know what to do here. He's done so good right up to now.
I'm a reloader, and I should know this, too.
You are a reloader? Okay, yeah. I'll tell you what I'm going to do with you. We'll forget the ballistic coefficient if you can elaborate on velocity. Where do you measure the velocity of a bullet when it leaves a firearm? Is it 100 yards downrange? Is it 200 yards downrange? Is it 10 feet from the muzzle? Where do you measure the speed?
I believe it's at the muzzle.
Excellent. That's it. You got it. You're a winner. Charlie, you are a winner. Excellent.
He's also a wizard.
Congratulations. The word you were looking for with ballistic coefficient, Charlie, was aerodynamics.
That's true.
All right.
The long-distance bullets... are long, and they have a beveled boat tail on them. So
yeah, and that's why they put those.
Stable.
Yeah, they stabilize the aerodynamics. Yeah, anyway, you did it. You did a good job. Excellent, and we're very pleased with your answers. And you have won a subscription, Charlie. Anything else on your mind before we hook you up with Norm?
No. I just hope it stops raining tomorrow, so I can pick some tomatoes and can them.
There you go.
Oh, you're going to can some? Oh, that's great. Yeah, we used to do that when we were younger, didn't we, Bob?
Absolutely.
We did a lot of canning, string beans.
Yeah.
Tomatoes,
I did.
Okay, Charlie, congratulations once again. We appreciate. Where are you calling from tonight?
From Garland.
From Garland. Oh, that's great, great country.
Long time listener.
Oh, great. Glad to hear that, Charlie. We appreciate it. Okay.
Learn something every week.
All right. Well, we do too, Charlie, every week. And we appreciate you playing the game. And if you'll stay on the line, Norm will get your, we'll get your address and
Excellent.
We'll get you signed up for a journal, all right?
Keep up the good work.
Okay. And thanks again. Take care. Yep.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. All right, those are the correct answers. The trajectory is the path of the bullet. Velocity is the speed of the bullet when it exits the muzzle. And, of course, the coefficient is the way the bullet flies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he did it all without Google.
I know. That's
pretty good, huh?
That's why I came up with that, because I know a lot of people are just Googling this.
They Google us. Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're Googling us to death, aren't they?
That's almost impossible for Google.
Right. Okay, we are going to be hooking up with Robin Corey in just a minute, and right now our engineer Norm is busy dialing her number or numbers, and she reportedly saw a mountain lion. And we've been talking a lot about mountain lions the last month or so. We had
very interesting subject, it is.
Yeah, and the same thing comes back and back. I can't figure out the same old eternal question, Bob. Is if they're there, why haven't we had a roadkill? Why haven't somebody gotten a really good photograph on a trail camera?
I know it.
It's
know
kind
it.
Of a mystery, isn't it? That's
what intrigues me. That's the nature of the animal.
Yeah, they are.
You know, they're ghosts.
They are ghosts.
They have to be.
Yeah.
Now, if we had some good, probably some good dogs that would pick up a track somewhere, maybe you could get some pictures.
Yeah, we got to have some. We got to have a good. We haven't got that. That smoking gun yet. Yeah.
Well, there's not enough of them, probably.
Maybe that's it. You know, my granddaughter.
You do a lot of traveling too.
Speaking of cougars, my granddaughter. Dana Reynolds worked at a ranch out in near Durango, Colorado this summer and was on a jogging path and had a cougar run in front of her on a trail and followed her, scared the dickens out of her, and she heard it hissing.
That could be unnerving, couldn't it?
Oh, it scared her to death.
Yeah.
She heard a hiss and growl, and she did probably what you're not supposed to do. She ran like hell. But you're supposed to not do that because it could, you know how cats are. Yeah. Anyway, it's quite a story. It really really scared her. Okay, we're going to hook up with Robin. Do we have Robin on the phone, Norm? Okay, he's busy in there because, you see, you can't see this at home, but Norm has to take the number and address of the winner of the trivia question with one hand, and the other hand, he has to be able to dial the number to get our guest. So he's... has his work cut out for him, but that's why he's being paid the big bucks.
He's a busy boy. That's the busiest place in there. That is tech room.
That is it.
LU. We got phones ringing. We got microphones, switches to throw, and all of it.
But they like it. It's a challenge.
He does very well.
It's a challenge, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we had these flying ants all over Branch Pond today.
Oh, that's right. They were told everywhere. Me that.
Yeah.
I've seen that before down there.
Have you
there.
Really? They're little tiny ones.
Yes.
Tiny,
yes.
tiny little ones. A little bigger than a black fly.
Millions of them.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, I've seen it happen many times down there. I do different camps down there, as you know.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen many, many times, and the fish go crazy over them.
Well, you know, I've been there a few years, 50-some, and I don't remember seeing as many. I wonder if it's the drought. Suppose it's the drought.
Well, that could, probably lend
could be
shores,
part of
you know.
It, yeah.
Could be part of it.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure the fish are having a good feed.
How was the hex hatch down there this year? Did you notice?
I had one on my screen in my office window.
Oh.
But I never fished the hex hatch on Branch Lake. I don't know. But I did see, I took a picture.
Yeah.
And I sent it around. And if you don't have an email, so I would have sent it to you, but I could have texted it to you, I guess.
You could send me a photo.
Yeah, and a text I could, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, while Norm is trying to get Robin on the phone, we want to remind you folks that yours truly is heading... I'm heading west for most of September.
Right.
And Bob is going to take the show next week. And then the two other weekends in September, Jim Thorne will be hosting a show. And Greg Burr will be in.
Good.
And
good. That should be interesting.
One of your favorite guys.
We'll have to listen in.
Greg will be hosting the show. I don't know who he has for guests.
Speaking of texting photos, I'm going to text you a photo of a cucumber I picked this past week. It was white.
A white cucumber.
A white cucumber.
I'll be
I've
doggone.
Never seen such a thing. I texted it to Norman, and he's quite a gardener.
An albino.
He had never an albino cucumber.
I've never heard of that in my
but
life.
But you know, it had a different taste.
I bet it did.
Yeah, it must have been a cross. It must have been crossed or something, you suppose.
I don't know.
Never heard of it. I suppose somebody botanists out there would know.
Yeah.
If they'd ever seen such a thing before.
Yeah.
I took a photo of it with the regular cucumber, and it's just about the same size as the one I took a picture of. Both the same, and I have it on my phone. So
oh, do you? Yeah.
I'll send you one.
Yeah. Okay, we're
bad news. I don't get an answer on either phone.
On either number.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe she forgot. Sorry to hear that. She said she would be available, and she's not there, so we will not be talking to Robin about her cougar sighting. But we will be talking to Dave Trahan, who is the director of Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. Some good news, I think, about a new fish hatchery being funded, and we'll talk to him right after. We probably ought to take a break now, right?
Sounds good. It's the time for it.
All right, let's take a break. And again, if you want to call us, the number is
1-800-966-1039. Please dial a hold number if you're local even.
We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and we are going to do a hookup here with Dave Trahan from SAM, but I think we had a call first. Let's take the call.
Yeah, we do.
All right, good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Yeah, this is George down in Mount Vernon, and I quite often hear you guys talk about people bucket stalking, and I've got a little revelation about that. I think that a lot of times that these off-species fish get transplanted by waterfowl. And I have a little evidence of that this year. I
yep.
dug a little farm pond last year, didn't put any fish in it, and it's just about dry now. And yesterday I went down there and looked, and there was hundreds of baby shiners in around the edge.
Huh.
And I know that I've seen blue heron down there and wood ducks. There was some wood ducks nesting down there. And what I've seen, and I've known this for years because we have a lot of, in the Mount Vernon area, we have several reclaimed trout ponds. And they quite quickly fill back up with sunfish and shiners and things like that. And nobody's stalking them. They just happen.
Yeah.
But we have waterfowl going from water. Well, it's only about probably a quarter of a mile as the crow flies from my little pond to the outlet of Long Pond, and it's called Belgrade Stream.
Yeah, so you think they're picking up live fish, you mean, and transferring them to a different water?
No, I think they're picking up viable eggs.
How would they do that?
When they walk through, when they swim through the nest of any fish.
Oh, that's an interesting
theory. Those eggs, and they go from, they hopscotch from pond to pond to pond.
Hey, that's fascinating.
I've seen it over the years here in this area because we have so many bodies of water, and we've had that. Years ago we had those programs where they actually used to put rotenone in ponds and kill them off and stock them with brook trout.
Yeah.
And quite quickly you'd have those off species come back.
Hey, I've never heard that before, but I'm fascinated. We'll run that by the biologists and see what they have to say and get and we'll mention it on the show. Yeah. Hey, appreciate it.
Because I know a lot of times it gets blamed on people, but I think in those. Prolific, perch and crappie and sunfish and those things.
That's
interesting. That's what's going on.
Interesting theory, George.
Yeah.
We'll follow up on it. Thank you. We appreciate the input.
All right.
Take care, George. Yep.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have David standing by. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Paul.
How are you tonight?
Well, you know, just had a lobster feed and had a beautiful evening. And yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, you did. Do you have steamers with it?
No, we just kind of hogged up on lobsters.
Oh, good for you. Wow.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah, I had a lobster last night, as a matter of fact. Oh, they're so good. Cooked just right. Now, how long do you cook your lobsters?
Well, we cooked them about 20 minutes.
Oh, that's too long, Dave.
Shells and,
11 minutes.
11 minutes.
Well, my mother-in-law likes to be able to pull the antenna off before she'll pull.
Oh, is that right?
So it's really up to my mother-in-law how long.
Everybody has a different theory.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, if your mother-in-law wants to pull the antenna off, you got to cook them 20 minutes.
That's right.
That's for sure. Okay, David. Nice to have you on the line. Let's. I'm going to talk to the engineer right on the air here. Okay, David, and then we'll get to. Let's put Corey on hold for later, okay? And
when would you like to have?
Well, why don't you tell her we'll call her back in about 15 minutes or so.
Okay,
all right?
I will. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah. Okay, David, we wanted you to come on the show because the last time I spoke with you, you said you're going to have some good news regarding the funding of a new fish hatchery. Can you update us? Tell us what that's about.
Sure, I'd love to. Going back as far as when I was on the Inland Fisheries and Wildlife Committee as a legislator, God, 20-some years ago, we knew we needed a new hatchery in Maine. We've been struggling within the legislature, and then when I took over at SAM for that period of time, trying to figure out a way to get it done. And, about 2 years ago, we learned that the EPA was directing state divisions like the Department of Environmental Protection to toughen standards on phosphorus discharge. Phosphorus is a byproduct of hatcheries. It's basically, let's just call it what it is. It's poop.
Yeah, it's fish poop, right?
Yeah, the byproducts from that end up in your discharge permits.
And
with the lower standards, and they're much lower, quite a severe drop in what the DEP is going to allow by rule. And the rule hasn't been written yet, but it's coming out soon. currently 7 of our 8 hatcheries are discharging above their permits now at different times of the year. So they're already not meeting 2022 standards.
Uh-oh.
With this new rule, we're you know, possibly going to have to shut down some hatcheries or severely reduce production. And in a way to try to address that, the legislature, the governor's office, Governor Mills, and the Legislative Appropriations Committee took $20 million of the federal dollars and set it aside to do some improvements at some of the hatcheries. Well, that's only going to probably update 2 hatcheries. That means the others are going to have to reduce production, or we'll have to come up with some more money. Well, knowing that license fees have increased 26% over 20 years, and most recently some severe increases in license sales, the pressure on the resource is growing, and it has been growing for some time. So that sets up the need for a new hatchery. So I approached Colonel Peabody, now Deputy Commissioner Peabody, and Commissioner Camuso, and said, you know, how can we get the money to site a new hatchery? And they said, well, we've tried, and we haven't been successful. And I said, well, let me give it a try. So I applied for an earmark with Senator Collins to get the initial funding to seed a search, statewide search. And Senator Collins' office called me recently and said, I was able to get that into the most recent budget. So we now have a $700,000 appropriation that we will use. Sam will get it. It has to go to a nonprofit. We won't profit from it. We'll use that money to hire contractors and work in partnership with Inland Fisheries and Wildlife to search across the state, do some testing of wells, research potential three-phase power, big enough site with water supplies, that sort of thing. So the money will get spent. We'll get it this fall. And then next summer we'll use the money with Inland Fisheries and Wildlife to site the new hatchery. When that happens, we have the support of the current administration to come forward with the funding sources to actually build the hatchery.
I guess I'm a little confused. The $700,000 of federal money, that's a sure thing,
yep.
and that's going to help underwrite the new hatchery, but it's not going to be enough?
No, it won't be nearly enough.
No.
It'll cost between $20 and $40 million to build a new hatchery.
Wow.
Yes. Well, the problem is that construction now, buying the land, installing three-phase power is well over $1 million. Discharge system would likely have to be a ground discharge system because you need to discharge your byproducts. So all of that is very expensive, and that's why we haven't built a new hatchery up to this point. But I would caution you to look at that number and say, wow, that's just too much money. Freshwater fishing generates almost $400 million annually to our economy. And so given that fact and the potential to actually increase that number, I think it's a good investment to put that kind of money into a hatchery that could last 50 to 100 years.
Yeah. So there would have to be probably some kind of a public referendum on this to raise the funds?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I've spoken with the federal delegation. I think there would be a federal component. I think there would be a state component, probably some borrowing. There's what's called a revenue bond. You can take a portion of your license fee, a couple of dollars, and dedicate it to pay off part of the loan. There's a whole number of ways you can finance it. I'm not as worried about the financing as I am finding a site that's suitable for a hatchery. Most of our clean water is now Class A, and you can't discharge into a Class A water.
So that's going to be the problem, the challenge then, huh?
It is.
Yeah.
So is PFAS contamination. Any water with PFAS in it,
yeah.
The new chemical that they found that comes from sludge is going to cause lots of problems. But what I would say to folks that are listening, we don't really have any choice. With this new rule that's coming, the end game is going to be the department's going to likely have to reduce production of fish. And with the increased pressure on the fishery, we can't afford to reduce production. It will be impacted by the greater pressure on the resource. The quality of the fishing will go down, It'll hurt our economy, and it'll hurt the quality of fishing in Maine. So we really don't have any choice.
Okay, we have a caller who may have a question for you, David. Let's take it.
Sure.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with David Trahan. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question is, a few years ago, or maybe 5 years ago, they used to have the paper companies went in and gave money toward the fish hatchery. Whatever become of that? And another, I guess the other question is, what about Moosehead Lake? They used to have a hatchery on that, and they closed that down. Could they redo that to put another hatchery there? And that's my question.
Yeah.
I'll wait till you
answer. Sure. Yeah, sure. I think it would be nearly impossible to discharge into Moosehead Lake. The fishery is a delicate one at best, and I just think politically it would be incredibly difficult to do that. I'm not saying it can't be done, but certainly, you know, that can be an option. I know that Inland Fisheries and Wildlife will work with us to probably test 8 sites. We'd like to look at a big enough number so that we can get a good idea. There is a site in along the Kennebec River, I think, is potentially a good site. But it has to be above the paper mills, because any of the waters below paper mills likely have some compromised water quality. So it's going to be hard to identify a site. I think it can be done. And now that we have the $700,000 earmark, we're a lot further than we've ever been, and a lot closer to our hatchery than I think we've ever been.
So if you had it in Moosehead Lake, the when the fish go to the bathroom, it leaves sludge. So is that the reason why that you couldn't have one there? Is that the sludge from the
no,
fish?
I believe Moosehead Lake is a Class A water. Which
yeah.
means you can't discharge at all. You'd have to have a law change to do that. What is happening around the country is what's called a ground discharge, where literally you find a deep gravel base under a hatchery, and you build settling ponds under the ground. It's simple. I know that's a simplified description, but you actually don't discharge into a body of water. Those are easier to get permitted than discharging into a river or lake.
Thank you, caller. We have another caller.
Have a good night. Bye.
All right, thank you. Let's take another call. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with David Trahan from SAM. Go ahead.
Yes, David. I was wondering, could this be integrated into our municipality's sewage treatment waste treatment?
Sure.
Because I know
sure.
some of the waste treatments, they're able to drink the water afterwards. I didn't know if there would be a town where it could be integrated into a sewage treatment plant. And I'll hang up.
Sure. Some of the hatcheries now are installing solids treatment, and so they do go to a municipal treatment or a sewage treatment plant. What they do is they sort the solids out and then treat the water, and then it's discharged. So, yeah, that the caller's right. You know, you can do that to some degree.
Yeah, I wondered about that. You know,
we
used to put human poop in the Penobscot River, and we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we find a way to deal with the fish poop as well? Yeah.
Well, we can. The treatment, the water treatment, or I should say the waste treatment coming out of these hatcheries, it must be anyway. The DEP is not going to allow it. The EPA is not going to allow the old discharge system. So you really, whatever hatchery we build is going to have its own contained treatment system. But a municipal system would cost hundreds of millions of dollars,
yeah. Wow.
One of that size. A hatchery will have millions of gallons of water pass through it in a day. So, you know, these are large systems.
Yeah.
They're possible. Nick Archer, who was one of the SAM board members, just retired from DEP. He put together a team of a SAM hatchery committee made up of retired DEP people, consultants who've built hatcheries. That committee has been working hand-in-hand with the department. They're the water quality experts that I think are going to set up the system to, I think, get us to the finish line. So we have the initial money to look. We have SAM working with IF&W hand-in-hand with the best people in the state. I think the sites are out there. We've already found a couple that are viable. One of them in particular, I think, is doable. So, like I said, in my lifetime, I would have said, given the effort we put behind trying to build a new hatchery 20 years ago, that it might never happen. But I'm feeling now that I can see the finish line down the way, and I think we'll get there.
Okay, David, we have another lady queued up who's going to tell us about a mountain lion sighting, so we appreciate you taking the time.
Wonderful.
Take your time to be with us, and we'll keep an eye on this issue, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it again, and we appreciate you updating us. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care, David.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to do a spot here for General Appliance and Brewer, and then we're going to try to hook up with the Cougar lady.
Absolutely, real quick. General Appliance and Brewer is the place to go, and they have pride in themselves over their gas light appliances and their gas ranges, their gas refrigerators, their gas freezers, and of course they also have a full line of electric appliances over there. Compost toilets is also one of the feature items, and those have got to be seen to be believed. And as I said, they have all kinds of parts. You really should go in and talk to them over there. But the compost toilets are unbelievable. No running water, no plumbing, no plug-in, no septic to worry about, no environmental problems. They're amazing.
Ride the wave, baby.
Ride the wave. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
I've always
wanted
to do it.
And they also sell our books over there, by the way.
They do. And they have been sponsoring this show in part for many, many years.
Yeah, over 20, I guess.
And we appreciate them doing so. And
certainly
we hope you
do.
You patronize them as we do.
You bet we do.
Okay. General Appliance in Brewer. And the guy to talk to over there is Al Elkin. He's the honcho, and he knows his stuff.
Yes.
Okay, I think we're going to hook up with the lady who saw the cougar. And we started to at the beginning of the program, but Norm couldn't get through to her. So I think he's on the phone right now.
Same thing's
happened. Oh, the same thing happened. Oh, no. Maybe we should have taken it earlier. Well, so what do you want to talk about, Bob?
Well, let's talk about fishing. What else is there?
Anyway,
fishing and hunting.
Yes. Anyway, I'm looking.
You're not going to hunt this fall, are you?
Are you kidding me?
No.
You know the answer to that.
You'll be back in time to go hunting, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, for sure, for sure.
You'll have a wonderful time out west, you and I, though. You're going to be gone for a whole month?
Well, most of the month,
Wow, this is what they call a bucket list?
Yeah, it's something we've wanted to do, and, you know, we're getting long in the tooth, and we thought we ought to do this while we
can,
you know.
While you're still able and everything, enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, and Diane's picking up the tab for the gas, so it was
good. There you are. That's big.
We're going to work
that's
that
big.
Out.
That's big. Trailer all ready to go.
Yeah, camper's all polished up, and new tires, new bearings.
New
credit cards. And we're ready to go.
That'd be great.
And so next week, you're going to be the host.
I will be the host next week, and I've got a mystery guest, so to speak, and he's doing the technical work right now in the technical room.
Oh, you're going to have
the control room, as they call it. So, and it's going to be Norm Plord, the mystery guest, next week.
You're kidding.
And I think he'll be quite interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It's surprising this guy is more interesting than you might think.
He's a fishing addict.
Yeah, I think you'll find it.
We got a lady?
No, but I did tell her that if we couldn't connect, would she call back? And so I'm expecting her to call back.
Oh, she may call.
Yeah, she's supposed to.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah, we'll play it by ear. So anyway, you're going to interview the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream next week right here on this show.
You call him the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream?
Oh, yeah.
I call him the scourge of Grand Lake Stream.
No, he's the sweetheart as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know if he can hear me on that. He did hear me.
And then and Scotty Bates will be running the board.
Yes, Scotty Bates will be on the board.
And you'll be talking to Norm. That's good.
Are you going fishing out west at all? You going to take your fishing gear?
You know, have you ever heard of the Green River?
I have heard of it. Where is it?
Well, there's a tale. It's where Wyoming and Colorado and Utah all come together.
Yeah.
The border there.
Yeah.
There's a big place called Flaming Gorge, and there's a tailwater. There's a dam, the Green River runs below that. There's a wicked good tailwater.
Oh, if you do know about this place, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I have friends who have fished it, and they've told me how to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try that.
What, they catch rainbows? Or?
Mostly browns, I think.
Browns.
Browns and maybe some rainbows, too, probably.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give that a shot.
We have Yellowstone. Are you going there?
No.
We have Robin.
Okay, Robin, you there?
Hi, it's Robin Cohane. How are you?
Robin Cohane, thanks for being on the line here. I don't know how much time we have left here, but we want to get you to tell us about your cougar sighting, Robin. Where are you calling us from?
Paul, right now I'm in Connecticut. I'm in North Haven, Connecticut.
Okay, North.
But
Yeah, we travel up towards and through Maine quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we vacation there. We have a vacation home up in Temperanceville, which is just outside of Nacogdoches, New Brunswick.
In New Brunswick, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Tell us.
We go up there quite a bit.
Tell us about your site. Now, you saw the cougar in New Brunswick, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right. Yep. Tell our listeners about it, Robin.
I'll tell you, it was back a few years ago. I mean, it had to be about 20 years ago.
Yep.
And it was very cold. It was in February, and we were coming up for a visit. Sometimes at one point when my daughter was first born, we lived up there for a couple of years. And my mom and I had went in to Fredericton, which was about a 40-minute drive at the time on the Trans-Canada. And it was freezing. It was below freezing. It was like minus 35 out. It was brutal. And we did shopping and whatnot and dinner, and then we started to come home a little later. It had to be about 11 o'clock at night. And we thought at first driving, because we were taking it easy, it was very icy out. It looked like a large deer actually in front of us. And I put the brakes on, and I noticed a car coming up behind me, and they slowed down also. And I looked, and I looked at my mother, and she looked at me and said, "That's not a deer. It's got a big round head, and it had a long tail, dark." I'm like, "It's a cougar. It's a puma. It's huge."
Wow.
And it was just sauntering. It just looked right at us, looked right towards the car lights, didn't phase it, sauntered across the Trans-Canada, didn't go fast. I was very surprised, and I think it was near where, I don't know if anyone knows where the Macnaquac Dam is, where the hydro is.
Yeah, I know where that is. Yeah.
Yes. Sir, I think it was coming for water.
Yeah.
Because everything was so frozen.
Yeah.
You know?
How far away were you from the critter?
Oh, we weren't far at all. I'm going to say maybe 20 yards, maybe 60 feet.
Yeah, wow, that close, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, and it didn't care. You know how a deer would just take off?
Yeah.
A deer would just run.
Yeah.
This did not stop. It did just, yeah. I mean, it just looked at us, and it just kept going at a regular pace. It didn't.
Yeah, you sure it wasn't just a fat kitty cat, huh?
Absolutely not. It was. If it was, it was the biggest cat I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
They have large, large heads.
Yeah, oh, they do,
bigger
yeah.
than any bull mastiff I've ever seen.
Yeah, and they have, there's a lot of muscular relief in their bodies, right? This animal looked muscular?
This one was very thin.
Was it thin, yeah?
I don't know, you know, because it was in the winter and it had been so cold, but it was a little on the thinner side.
Yeah.
But you could actually see it had the cat, the real feline slink that they have.
Yeah.
And
wow.
The tail was just straight out,
a
little brown, dark tip at the end.
Yeah.
So it was very tawny. I know some of the people, there's an interesting site on Facebook, people that have seen cougars, and I found it interesting because they're seeing more and more of them. And some of them are seeing these black cougars. So I started reading up a little bit, and it seemed like the black ones, it was more of like the eastern cougar that they said was extinct.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the tawny ones coming this way are more of the western.
I'm sorry, we have run out of time up to get the clock. We appreciate you taking your time, Robin. I'm sorry we were so late to getting to you.
No, I apologize. And, Paul, it was a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you so much.
And if you ever see another cougar, give us a call, all right?
I sure will.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Paul.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us, and take care. Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right. That was Robin Corey. How'd you pronounce her name? Cahane, right? I think it's an Irish name, man. Anyway,
yes,
next week, Bob's going to take over the controls here.
And I got Norman Plord.
And Norm Plord's going to be
a guest. And I got him kicking and screaming, but he's coming.
So you'll hear it all next week right here on Maine
Outdoors.